Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Monday, March the 1st. First day of the month of March 2021. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. And here we are, toll-free line up and running, 740-383-9944. Anything you'd like to talk about. Now, we went right up to the top of the hour, last hour, discussing pork. How do you know if pork is done? Can you eat undercooked pork? What does salmonella and all these things come from? What do they come from? Interesting questions. Go ahead, caller. Caller. Yes. Go ahead.
You're cutting out. Let me try to call you back. You're cutting out.
Okay. We'll have a call back here momentarily. And again, if you'd like to call in, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz, and we will get you on the air. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, this is better.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, you're talking about doing your meat here today. Send it to people on the browser today. You slice it open, your pork chops, slice in the middle. And it looks good and brown in the middle. It's done. And your hamburger or something like that has to be well done. Pork has to be well done. And so does the pork. It has to be well done. And the pork chops and the poultry, you can get poison from it. Salmonella.
So now why can they eat the red meat not well done?
Why it's not well done?
Yeah.
I don't know why they like it that way.
Okay. Why appreciate your input?
Okay, one more thing.
Oh, go ahead.
You never got around to your potato head story last week.
Oh, yes. I. You know what? I will do that right now.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get around to the potato head story here. Now, this is, and it's changed since Friday, so there'll be more of this potato head story. We talked about it a little bit on the pastor's show last week, kind of inadvertently. But again, 740-383-9944. If you have anything more to say about the meat, give me a buzz and we can certainly talk about it. Now, here's what happened last week. And I think this was on Thursday. But Hasbro, which produces Mr. Potato Head and has produced Mr. Potato Head for a long, long time, said that they were not going to have a gender for the potato heads anymore. Which, I don't really understand this story, to be honest, because it's been a long time since I've had a Mr. Potato Head. But to be honest with you, there was a Mrs. Potato Head, and I think there were even children potato heads, and all you could put on a potato head, if I remember right, was a hat or hair, eyeballs, ears, a nose, a mouth, and I think feet. I think that was it to a Mr. or Mrs. Potato Head. Well, last week they decided they were going to make a potato head, and there really is no gender. And again, I don't understand this because I never understood the gender to begin with. What makes Mr. Potato Head Mr.? What makes Mrs. Potato Head Mrs.? I don't understand it. But they were going to make a potato head that had no gender. Well, people went crazy. This was awful. This was terrible. And I think now Hasbro has reversed themselves and decided to not do this. Just stick with the old Mr. Potato Head. So, I'm not even sure what this has to do with. I'm looking at it here. Well, I don't know if they've reversed it or not, because they're saying it's gender neutral. I don't know. I just can't figure it out. Because if you get the Mr. Potato Head or the Mrs. Potato Head or the Potato Head in general, this is a toy. And you put feet on it and you put a hat on it or you put hair on it or you put eyes, nose, ear. I just don't quite understand the story. But the way the story was presented was that you would not be able to get Potato Heads anymore, like Mr. Potato Head. But that's not true. You still would be able to get Mr. Potato Head. So, I don't know what all the hubbub is about. Does anybody care about the Potato Head? See, this is what shocks me, that this becomes a national story. That Mr. Potato Head is changing its name. And what's always fascinating to me about this is it's the company that is deciding to do it. It was Hasbro that says, we're going to change this. It's not like people in the street are rioting over Mr. Potato Head. If they are, I haven't seen it. And it's the same thing to me that has been going on with the syrup companies and pancake mix companies. I don't understand, I guess, why things like that are so touchy both ways. Because I don't understand why... I don't know. It's very difficult because you have to really analyze the product itself. You know, we're talking about syrup. We're talking about a children's toy. We're not talking about, you know, nuclear bombs here. We're talking about very small things in society. And why people get so up in arms about them. I mean, the people who are getting up in arms about these things, like Mrs. Potato Head or Mr. Potato Head, do they have a Mr. Potato Head at home? Are they going to go out and buy a Mr. Potato Head? Why is it so offensive that the company, Hasbro, would want to change Mr. Potato Head? And it's the same thing to me with the syrup companies and these companies that, you know, it's the company that's changing the name. They're saying, we want to do this. Now, why does this get people so up in arms? Do we really not care about the syrup? Is it really more about the packaging of the syrup? Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the packaging. Nobody's changing the recipe. You know, I guess when you go into the grocery store and you've got 10 different types of syrup you can buy, I guess the packaging is what makes you buy it, not the taste. It's the packaging. So this whole thing is very strange to me, and now that it's going into children's toys, I guess what I don't understand is the outrage. Why people don't want things changed. Change happens all the time. What's the old saying? The only thing constant is change. And I guess people have a very strong connection with these items, but you don't have to forget the old item. A matter of fact, if you have one at home, it's not like they're going to take anything away from you. Does somebody else want to weigh in on this? Because this was the whole Potato Head thing. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody understand this whole packaging concept? Well, here's what it says. Hasbro reverses decision to make Mr. Potato Head gender neutral. After announcing that Mr. Potato Head would go gender neutral, Hasbro took back the decision that Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head aren't going anywhere. When it was announced last week that the Potato Head brand name and logo are dropping the Mr. and Mrs., it outraged quite a few people. So, okay, there you go. Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head will stay, I guess. And everything will go on as it should be. But I guess I don't understand why this bothers people so much. And if it does bother you, let me know. I really would be interested to know why this becomes such an outrage. I just, when I saw Mr. Potato Head on the news last week, I thought, this is really a national story with all the things going on in the world? this is what's upsetting people so badly? Mr. Potato Head? It's weird, the things we get into. But if you'd like to weigh in, please do. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does the Mr. Potato Head issue that started last week interest you at all? Why does it matter? Isn't a potato head this toy? Isn't it gender neutral anyway? I mean, they call it Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head, but I really don't know how you know the difference. The shoes they wear, the hats they wear, the eyeballs, I guess. I don't know. And are you supposed to buy boys only Mr. Potato Head and girls Mrs. Potato Head? I'm not quite sure I understand this. Anywho, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. Now, I do want to let everybody know that Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp coming up this morning, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m., and Voice of a People with Linda Sims, 4:10 p.m. to 5. And then we have the Mike Wilson Show, 5:10 to 6 p.m. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Scott, I have a little situation.
Oh, go ahead.
I received a letter from the Department of Treasury.
Oh.
That was dated February the 15th. And it says your second economic impact payment will be put in my direct deposit of $600. Now, I didn't even know that had passed yet. Has it?
I believe that one passed back in January, yes.
Well, then it says this is going to be deposited in my account within 7 days. Well, this was dated the 15th of February. It's not my account. So I don't even know if this is just a hoax or what.
Now, did you get the two stimuluses that we have gotten? I think
yeah.
One. Oh, so you did get them both.
Yep.
You know, this is kind of confusing. This happened to me, too, oddly enough. What this is, and I don't know why the letters came out this way, but what this letter is talking about is the stimulus that you got back in January.
Okay. Yeah. I get one. Did you get one in January?
I did get one in January as well. And because what was the first one? The first one was $1,200 last year.
Yeah.
And then we got one for $600. Early this year. And this letter is talking about that. Now, I don't know why they were sent out to people who already got them, but I think it's pretty much just saying that if you haven't gotten it, you were eligible. It's very strange how it's being done. I'm not sure why it's being done that way, but what it's referring to is the second one.
Well, maybe I'll have to check. Maybe I'm got $600 more in my check account than I know I do, and I would think that would ring a bell, wouldn't you?
Well, I would. It should have come back. Yeah, it should have. There should have been two. We've only passed two. One last year for $1,200,
mm-hmm.
and one early this year for $600.
Okay. Well, this notice is dated the 15th of February of this year.
Yeah, that's about when mine came, probably middle to the beginning of February, and it said kind of the same thing. It said, you know, the $600 stimulus is coming your way, and it should be deposited in your checking account, but, you know, it already had been, so...
Well, I must go check. You would think $600 additional in my checking account would have rang a bell, wouldn't you?
Well, now, did you get the $600 that came in January?
I don't know.
Yeah, because there should have been one that came in January, and that's what they were referring to.
Well, I must check my, you would think I would remember that, wouldn't you? When I had nothing else in January to accept.
Huh? it was just, I think because some people got them late, some people got them early. They came at different times, but as long as you got that $600 sometime after the first of the year, that's what it's talking about.
But why would they send you out a notice on, dated the 15th of February?
I don't know why.
In the government?
I know. It confused a lot of people, and I'm not really sure why they did it. What I think happened was they had a new person take over the Treasury.
Oh, we can blame it on to that.
I think that's what happened, because I don't remember getting any note after the first stimulus back in April of last year.
Oh, I guess I don't. I don't hardly remember what happened yesterday. I didn't have this paper in front of me. I probably wouldn't remember this. But no, and these people talking about all these insignificant stuff, such as Mr. Potato Head and all that, they just ain't got. They ain't worried about what they're going to put in their garden next year and what they're going to harvest next fall, so they got something to eat next winter.
No, it's a very strange thing, because I have yet to figure out what the outrage is if a company decides to change a logo or an idea. You know, if it doesn't go over well, people won't buy it, and that's what will happen, and then they'll either change it back or they'll go out of business.
Now, is that worrying you whether they do it?
No.
Worrying me?
No, but the shock of it was, why I wanted to talk about it, the shocking thing about it was that it did bother people. That it did, you know, the news only reports what sells.
Shocking stuff.
Yeah, what is going to sell? And the fact that this stuff sells, this is why when people get into conversations and blame the news, you know, I can guarantee you this. If the news was putting on things that you weren't watching, and they had nobody watching them or listening to them, they would be making no money and they wouldn't be on the air.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're hearing it or seeing it, they're giving you what you want.
Well, we should have it back, the old chat long, 15 minutes at evening, 15 minutes at noon. Then we'd know all we needed to know.
Well, that's when news used to be a public service, but now people have got so offensive toward the news that if it's not what they want to hear, sponsors will pull out, supporters will pull out, they'll go crazy.
I understand.
It didn't used to be that way. You know, they bought the time because they knew people were listening or watching. They
mm-hmm.
didn't buy it because they thought it totally lined up with every belief they have.
Yeah.
It's something.
But it's kind of like, well, we respected whatever, and it's like, you know, whole American history. What's these kids going to know? And yet, I seen another weird thing yesterday. I was sitting in the Kroger parking lot over there on 95, and a kid was gathering up carts. I'm assuming worked there. And he had his dang cell phone in his left hand, trying to squirm them carts in the corral so he could get them back into the store. Now, do they just realize how simple their life would be if they threw the damn things away?
I'll tell you what. The cell phone, I'm trying to think of when this was. I think it was Friday night. Friday night, I was in with somebody else. I had went out to eat, and we were in a drive-thru. And clearly, the line was moving fast. And there was this person who... matter of fact, let me tell you this. This is a better story. Friday night, I was out at... Penn Station, out at, that little...
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm out at Penn Station on 95, and the person I was with went in to get the subs. So I'm sitting in the car. Now, there's a lady in an SUV who's parked up. Why she's against the curb, I have no idea, but she's in the driver's seat, and there's a kid in the back, and they've both got their heads down looking at the cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, two people come out of Penn Station, and they're in the car next to me. A guy
mm-hmm.
and a girl. They get in the car, and they start to back out. Well, they can't back out because this car is sitting on the curb.
Mm-hmm.
And the I'm watching, because, you know, this. I'm just a spectator at this whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm watching the people in this van who, I assume, we'll say the mother who's in the front seat, in the driver's seat, and the daughter in the back. Neither one of them ever saw this car trying to move because they both had their heads down in the cell phone and never moved from the entire time that the person I was in the car with went in to get the
the subs till they came out. Now, this is probably about a 5 to 7 minute period, and they never did move. This car had to finagle all the way around to get out of this spot, and they didn't see any of it. And they were maybe 5 feet from the whole thing that was going on. And I about honked the horn myself.
And you know something? If that person trying to get out would have honked the horn, that would have caused the other person road rage because they'd be mad because somebody honked the horn at them.
But it's just, you know, it's not just the fact, like you say, that they're choosing to look at the cell phone. Mm-hmm. To me, it's that they become oblivious to everything else going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why that takes your attention. You know, the person who's putting in the carts, now I hope they were still aware they were putting in the carts.
Oh, I think they kind of were.
Yeah, well, hope.
But it was just the idea how much easier it would have been if he put that cell phone, left it in the car, which I don't know why employers don't make them do that.
Well,
leave them in the car, because then they would concentrate absolutely on their job.
Well, you know, it's very strange because I remember I was teaching in the schools when the edict came down that kids were allowed to have cell phones in the classroom, that mm-hmm. you did not have to leave them in the locker anymore.
Wonder why that was.
You know, I was shocked about it when it happened, and I'm still shocked about it to this day. And I don't know what the reasoning behind that was, because I keep thinking, what did we do for 200 years when you actually had to call the office to get a hold of a student?
Yeah. Why was that? And by the same thing, like I say, they got that phone in their hand. Did they ever try to call their mother or their grandmother? Or who, they don't even have to do like the Amish, go down to the shanty and, you know, two or three fields down. But they don't have time for that. And I just think they just are creating a jumble in their brain because they never, ever are alone by themselves in their own thoughts.
Well, I always say the long-term effects of this are what we're really going to find
right.
out, because this is the first generation that has had this.
Mm-hmm.
And when this generation gets to be 80 or 90, what impacts will this have had on their attention span, their ability to communicate, their eyes? Remember when they used to say, if you sit too close to the television, it's bad for your eyes?
Yeah.
Well, what happened to that? I haven't heard that in quite a while.
Well, and that's true. And the sad part of it is when they do, they can be on that phone all the time, but they cannot hardly have a face-to-face personal conversation with another person.
No, it's very difficult. It's very hard to communicate. But you know what I have noticed? They do know more about more things. Now, I'm sure that's an effect of the cell phone, being able to, if they hear something, look it up right then. So,
yep.
You know, that's the good part of it. But that they can't hold a conversation, that they can't be without it. You know, it really has killed memory, because if I say, you know, who was the 27th president of the United States?
Boom, boom, they got it.
They got it. They don't have to think about it.
But they don't. But like my grandson said about kids going to school now, you know, online, he says you get the work done, but you don't retain it.
Oh, I think that's a big problem. And I'm not sure, you know, I remember talking to the Marion City School Superintendent, and he just alluded to it. We didn't get into a deep conversation, but the effect of this last year and what it has done, no matter what grade you are in, to your whole learning experience, you know, we're going to be seeing the effects of this for probably 12 years.
Well, that's what my son was here the other day, and he's got two kids in school, and he said that they were talking about the test grades. And he says, well, good grief, they've been in school for a year.
Yeah, it's very hard to understand. You know, it's just like people working from home. I really hope that does not become a thing, because I'm worried about gas prices. I'm worried about people who have depression. I'm worried about people who don't exercise. You know, you're giving them more of a reason not to leave the house.
Right, and so then they have no personal contact with another person. I had a couple nephews here one time, and we were sitting in the living room, which I don't have a TV in the living room. And when they got up to leave, because they're highly intelligent, I guess, I says, now that's what you call sitting down and have a conversation. Nobody had any cell phones.
That's the way to do it. Well, hey, I thank you for
you
calling
have a good
in.
One. Yeah. I'll have to check my checking account.
Yeah, check that checking account.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Scott.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If the phone line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so give us a buzz. We'd love to hear from you. A lot of interesting topics there. It started, you know, with Mr. Potato Head and why do we care about these things. But, oh boy, the cell phone thing and the school thing and online schooling and people working from home, I don't know. Long term, what the effects of this are going to be. I just think there's going to be bad repercussions. Much like the cell phones. I just think when you have a generation that has never had to live without them, when that finally happens, and that generation hits the workforce and starts running things, I think you're going to see a whole different mentality in how people operate in this country. But you know what? A lot of people have gotten that stimulus letter, and it's very confusing because they got it after they got the stimulus. And the letter is saying, you know, you're qualifying and you're going to get it. But that's not really what's going on. So there you go. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, John, it's
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I only just called about the checks.
Yeah.
And that letter, okay. I got my order, it was dated the 1st of February, but I didn't get it until the 19th. And that was referring to what happened. People with direct deposit got theirs when they were supposed to. But these people that use NetSpan and all these other cards and have it delivered, they were having trouble getting it out to them. And that's why people didn't know whether they got it or not because they had been, was having trouble.
But
that's been an old, you know, I know people that had to wait 3 or 4 weeks after they were supposed to have been put on their card before they got it.
Well, let's hope everybody gets everything that's coming to them. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. At this point, the only thing the government has passed was the $1,200 stimulus back in April of last year, 2020, and there was a $600 stimulus early this year. So just see if you've gotten $600 after January the 1st, up until this point. If you have, then you've probably gotten everything that's coming to you. 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say, give me a buzz. Oh, do want to mention in passing here that Al Weichel, I did go over to Al's house this past weekend, and it was very interesting. Very, very interesting. I don't know if he's out there listening this morning, but I had a good time over at Al's house. Got a lot of very interesting history. Very interesting collection. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, here's a question I had. In case anybody's wondering, this is what they told me when I filed my taxes, because I was one of the ones that got some of the stimulus money or whatever, and I was wondering if that meant you wouldn't get as much tax money or maybe not a tax return at all. I was kind of, you know, wondering how that was going to play out. But the lady that did my taxes said that the only reason why they require you to report what stimulus money you have received is just so they know who has received it and who still needs to get it. It doesn't have nothing to do with you still won't get your income tax return.
Yeah, I don't think they're saying that that's income in any way.
Well, I was kind of worried about that.
Yeah, I think it turned out okay. And, you know, the way things are going, as of Friday, it looks like the House passed another bill. So as long as it gets through the Senate, it looks like another $1,400 will be going a lot of people's ways.
What did they give us for kids?
You know, I think it does include $1,400 for every dependent as well, but it's got to pass.
Dang, so if you got a kid, you're pulling down $2,800?
Well, yeah, and It's very confusing because they're basing it on income.
One thing that's confusing is how some of these folks out here is getting ready to get anywhere between $5,000 and $10,000 on their taxes. Then they're going to pull down $2,800 probably for the stimulus. But I bet you by May 1st they'll be broke again. That's confusing to me.
I don't know how that happens, but it does happen. It does happen. You're exactly right. Well, thanks for calling.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. You know, I think people get so far behind is what happens. I think that's they get so far behind, and then they get these stimuluses, and they get these tax returns, and sometimes I think they try to catch up on some bills, but they're already so far behind on other things that it just, it's a massive circle. You know, if you are spending out more than you're taking in, you're probably always going to continue to have that problem, no matter what stimulus or what comes your way. Tax return, who knows? 740-383-9944, give me a buzz. But yes, I did make it over to Al Weichel's, which has been a big topic of conversation here. And I was just fascinated by the stuff that he had. It was interesting, because there were a lot of things that date back a lot of years, and apparently he's been collecting these type of things since he was a very, very young, pretty much boy, was my understanding. It's nice to have a collection like that. Some people talk about hoarding and things like this, and pack rat used to be a big term. But you know, if you have a collection of interesting things, and that's what you're into, I think it's fine. I'm not sure why that is such a... I don't know why it ticks other people off. Here we come back to ticking other people off. Why do people get so upset about things that have nothing to do with them? If you're not going to buy a Mr. Potato Head, why does it bother you? What is on the name of the Potato Head? If you like a certain kind of syrup, why does it matter if they change the name of the syrup? You obviously know what syrup it is. But we get outraged in this country about anything. I think our favorite thing to do in this country is get outraged. If somebody doesn't like what you're doing or what your company is doing, my goodness, we all have to run to the outrage meter. And we all just have to be angry. And we've got to... I don't know. It's strange, because I don't know if it's always been that way. I think you've always had people who were outraged, but I don't know if they were outraged all the time like they are now. Don't forget, mid-morning coffee break this morning, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. with Adam Lepp. Then we have Voice of the People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5 p.m., and the Mike Wilson Show today, 5:10 to 6 p.m. on this station. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. And I do have to thank one of our listeners out there over the weekend. Was going through some items. I think purchasing some items is what was going on, and sent me a message about the pill microphones that I am looking for. And I appreciate that people have got an eye out for me and those pill microphones. They're very expensive. I'm not sure why they've become so expensive, but, you know, to me, it wouldn't even matter if it worked or not. It's just about the old pill microphones. But so many people have replicas, because they were so popular that people have started to manufacture replicas that they even use on their computers. But those are not the real pill microphones. What I'm looking for is the original pill microphones that would have been used in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. And they're called pill microphones because they look like a big pill. And radio stations all over the country used to use those. Now, if you ever find one in an old junk box or anything, let me know. Like I say, it does not need to work. They're so interesting looking. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, I've got a problem.
Uh-oh.
I checked my bank statement, and I did not receive any $600.
No $600 since the beginning of the year?
No.
Oh. Well, then you should be getting it, I would think.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't know if I want to spend the next week and a half on the phone trying to get an answer or not.
Yeah, because you should.
I'll just hold out and know, and my pot of gold is on its way.
It's
maybe St. Patrick's Day.
Maybe St. Well, now the first stimulus that you got last year, did that go in your checking account?
Yes.
This one should go in the same place.
Okay, well, Scott, I got to trust you.
Keep an eye out.
At least you're a body, and I wouldn't get that in the government.
That's right. A live person talking to you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, we hope it shows up. It should. I don't know if the government is still sending them out or not, but it should go into that account, the same account that the first stimulus check went into. So we'll see what happens. 740-383-9944, especially if a third one is coming down the pike as well. But go ahead, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944, if you got anything to say. All right. What else do we have to talk about? Okay, here's a big one. And with 10 minutes, I'm not even sure if I'll make it totally through this morning, but why not give it a shot? Okay. The refrigerator here at the station has been a long-running, I don't know if you want to call it a joke, but it's certainly been a long-running episode in life. Now, let me try to tell you what happened. Years ago, I mean, I don't use the refrigerator that often. Sometimes I'll put pop in there to keep it cold. That's about it. But what happened was, probably 5 or 6 years ago, at Thanksgiving, we usually have pumpkin pie and whipped cream, and at Christmas, we have eggnog and fruitcake. Now, nobody ever eats or drinks all of this. So you would put it in the refrigerator. And like 5 or 6 years ago, somebody put it in the refrigerator. Well, of course, nobody's going to go in and drink eggnog the next week or eat fruitcake or get in the pumpkin pie or do any of that. So it just ended up staying in there a long time. And it was in there long after the expiration date before somebody noticed that it had been in there a long time. It's kind of like emptying the garbage here. Nobody does it. So it got to a point to where this stuff had been in there a long time. And that became one of these things like the garbage, but not like the garbage. Because the garbage has to be taken out or the office would stink and everything would be a problem. But with the refrigerator, it wasn't like that. You know, if nobody was going to clean out the refrigerator, well, I certainly wasn't going to clean out the refrigerator. So nobody ever did. Now, people would complain. They'd say, boy, hasn't that eggnog been in there a long time? Hasn't that pie been in there a long time? But they wouldn't throw it away, which I always felt was strange. So, in any event, this is so weird. In any event, it stayed in there for a long, long time. Now, everybody complained, but nobody would clean it up. And then we were over in the Beltone building. We were over in the Beltone building years ago, and somehow we were talking about this on the air, or somebody opened up the refrigerator and saw all this old food in there. Old eggnog and old pies and things like that. And Paul Savage, who was with us back in those days doing a show on this station, found out about it. So he showed up one day with like a scrub brush and cleaners, and he was going to get in this refrigerator and clean it out. Now, at that point, it had probably been that way about 2 years, 3 years. It had been sitting there like that. Well, at that point, I did not want Paul Savage cleaning it out because I did not think it was his job to clean it out. And I was still a little perturbed that nobody else had ever made the effort to clean it out. So it didn't get cleaned out. Well, after that point, it became the running joke that this refrigerator just had old stuff in it. Up to the point to when we moved into this building, we had to bring a refrigerator. And, of course, nobody was going to clean out the old refrigerator. So we brought the refrigerator from the Beltone building up here and never emptied it. it still had all the old eggnog, it had all the old pumpkin pie, it had all the old whipped cream, all the stuff, you know. And I'll tell you something funny. When we were moving here, somehow, when we were taking the refrigerator off the truck, we dropped it. We dropped it in the parking lot. And I thought the refrigerator was broken. Now, we ended up bringing it up here and plugged it in. And, of course, this refrigerator just kept on ticking. But yet, nobody cleaned it out again. Now, this would have been 2019. So it stayed this way and became a very big joke. And everybody who came up here, whoever went toward the refrigerator, looked at it and was repulsed by it. You know, Ted Williams was repulsed by it. Angie was repulsed by it. Everybody knew about the refrigerator. It was just the most awful thing in the world. And everybody who did a show here knew about the refrigerator and said, you got to do something about this refrigerator. Well, here's what happened. After all this time, years and years and years and years and years, a couple weeks ago, it started to smell funny in here. And I think I said this on the air. It smelled like a heater backing up or some wires were burning or something like that. Well, I thought, well, maybe it's the refrigerator. But I thought it may have been a few other items too, like computers or whatever. So I unplugged a lot of stuff, including the refrigerator. Well, when I unplugged the refrigerator, it started to thaw. Well, when it thawed, it really had a smell. So, it's thawed. And at this point, Angie came to me and she said, you know, let me clean this out. It's thawed out. It can be done pretty easily. Let me, and I said, Angie, I don't think this is going to be an easy job. I think this is going to be a big job. It's messy in there. It stinks. It's going to be awful. So the refrigerator thaws out and it's unplugged. And it was that way all last week. On Saturday, Angie said to me, well, let's go up to the station. I know the refrigerator's unthawed and I'll clean it out. And she had brought in some bleach mixture and some towels and things like that. I said, boy, I just don't think this is going to be a good idea. So we come up here, and I mean, this refrigerator probably had botulism in it. It had science experiments. It had everything in it. So we get up here and just start throwing things. Everything in it got thrown away. Everything got thrown away. And then Angie took this bleach solution and these paper towels and just went through that refrigerator and cleaned every little crevice out that needed to be cleaned out, and everything was wiped out and made the way it needed to be, a good looking refrigerator needed to be, and she did it in under an hour. This didn't even take an hour. Refrigerator was plugged back in. You could hear it start right back up. And I felt it this morning, and it is cold in there. And the only thing in there right now is a 2 liter of soda getting cold. So I have to thank Angie for doing this. But now here's the other thing. I put a picture of this because it was a long-running gag on Facebook, the cleaned-out refrigerator. I put a picture of it on Facebook. And people were so shocked that this thing was finally cleaned. Six, 7 years later, this had finally happened. And everybody wanted to see a before picture. You would not want to see a before picture of this refrigerator. It was awful. But now it looks like the most cleansy thing you've ever seen in your life. But do you know how many people came to me in the last couple of years who said, you just need to throw that thing out? Just throw it out. Throw the whole refrigerator out. It took an hour. That's all it took. Less than an hour. One person cleaning it out. And we thank her for doing that. She really went above and beyond. But people kept saying, throw the refrigerator out. Throw the refrigerator out. And I think maybe that's the kind of society we are. We're just, you know, we don't really want to get in there and clean anything up. We just want to throw everything out. So I give, on behalf of a lot of people here at the station, our undying thank you to Angie for cleaning out that refrigerator, because it was a mess. But I don't know if it really had botulism in it or anything like that, but there was an odor. I'll say that, especially once it thawed out. Holy moly. So, does anybody have anything to say about this in the last 2 minutes we've got here? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But I had to publicly thank Angie for doing this, because nobody around here ever did it for 6 years. And that's how it got to be the way it was. But as of this morning, as of March, we have a clean refrigerator, and that is all thanks to her. So, that's a very nice thing. But boy, was this refrigerator something to see. Before, people would open up the doors and be literally scared of this. I remember Ted Williams was here one time, and he opened up the door to get something to drink out of it. And he jumped back, you know, like there was a some kind of ghost in there or something. It was bad. It was really, really bad. But today, if you walked in there and opened up that refrigerator door, you would never know anything had ever happened. So we thank Angie for that. That starts out the month of March on a very good note. Don't forget, mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. this morning. Voice of a People, 4:10 to 5 p.m. And Mike Wilson, 5:10 to 6 p.m. For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Be safe, be well, and be back tomorrow.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not. And then you consider the source.
And then just
I just made up that answer.
Then onward and upward.
You're always a little bit miffed, of course, because everyone doesn't love you. But at the same time, you have to look at yourself and see whether they're right or not.
Do you go home at night, Helen, and think, my goodness, this person said that, this person said that? Does it keep you up at nights?
Well, I don't say it keeps me up at night. I have to think that nobody likes criticism. But sometimes it's very legitimate.
Final question I have for you, Helen, is probably the question I've been asked the most since I did the interview with you back in October of 2010. Why did you finally decide to speak, and how did it come about that you chose me to do the first interview?
Because you've been very kind, very